This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so what do we get for number five?
We've got the classic blue, which Pantone has said is the 2020 color of the year. It was very highly anticipated, and they celebrated with this big showcase in Manhattan with classic blue drinks and fragrances and sounds and furniture. And it's like, it's crazy that they can just decide this. You know, they characterize themselves as the global authority on color. So I just want to know what those meetings are like. You know, are they just like sitting around a room with like a bunch of swatches and they're like, yo, dude, like, what do you think 2020 should be? We're like, how about blue? Yeah, good job, Jim. You know, like, what kind of science goes into this? I would assume it's a little bit more of a rigorous process than just being stoked, but they state that it's a color snapshot of what we see taking place in our global culture that serves as an expression of mood and an attitude. How you get that from classic blue, I don't know. And how you can project that upon 2020, I also don't know. But I love blue, so I'm excited.
I know. I'm a big fan of blue myself, so I'm thinking, like, I don't mind it being blue, but you're right. What happened to green and red and yellow? Where's the other colors, right? Like, why did they get thrown out the running?
I would like to know a little bit more about the decision-making process and how scientific it actually is and what they think is going to take place in our global culture that relates to blue. I don't know. It's just really silly. But people were obviously Googling because they're like, how do they choose it? Like, that was the number one question, which is what we're talking about right now. But yeah, I don't even remember what the color was last year. I think it was like a purple. I think it was like a lavender, maybe. So I don't know. It's great, though. Classic blue, 2020. What's up?
What we get for number four?
We've got The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's coming back for the third season. It's an Amazon original. It's coming back on Friday. And people are pretty stoked on it. I don't watch, but it sounds interesting. So it's about this woman who is a housewife turned stand-up comedian in the 1950s, and it just kind of follows her career. So her name is also Midge, I think, which is hilarious because Midge is just such a silly name to have. But it's set in New York City as well, which obviously I'm stoked on. So I don't know if you watch.
No, but I've been seeing the banners whenever I shop on Amazon, and I always feel like they're really pushing it on me. So that's why I don't watch it.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, you can't be pushed upon.
That's right.
You got to be a little bit more humble with it. Yeah, I agree. I don't want to be sold too hard.
Isn't Midge a nickname for Marge?
I feel like Midge is not a nickname for Marge because Marge is, it's like the same amount of letters as Marge. Isn't the nickname generally supposed to be like a little bit different or a little bit shorter? Midge and Marge are just too similar, I feel like.
Oh, I don't know. That's what I thought. I don't know. Isn't that what they call Marge Simpson? They sometimes call her Midge. Or who? No.
Oh, really?
Someone calls her Midge. Who's the dude, the bartender? God, I can't even. I'm having a brain fart. He's always Mo. There you go. Mo the bartender.
Oh, Mo.
He calls Marge Midge. So that's why.
I'm just like an accent.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Simpsons threw me off. Thanks.
Who knows? All right, well. I guess we should watch the show, if only to figure out if her name is Marge.
What we get for number three?
Jay-Z, and he's trending because he turned 50. I mean, reading this just made me feel so old. Like, I cannot believe that dude is 5'0". Not that 50 is not 50 is old. It's just that, I don't know, I see Jay-Z as this, like, young rapper. And so for him to be 50, I was shocked by that. But it was his birthday, and he also just brought all of his albums back to Spotify, which they haven't been on there for 2 years because they've probably kind of been trying to be exclusive to his streaming service, which is Tidal. But they're back on Spotify, which is freaking sick. And he celebrated with that, and then also like had a $500 bottle of cognac because he owns a cognac company. $5,000 bottle of alcohol is so insane. But, man, Jay-Z, happy birthday, man. I can't believe you're 50.
Okay, so years ago, when he, I think, was like 40, there was a big controversy that he wasn't really 40. I'm surprised they didn't bring that up now, because I personally think he's much older than what he's saying he is.
Wow. Oh, you think he's older?
Yeah, I think he lied about his age, because when he turned 40, people were like, hey, man, he's been in the business since his early 20s, like the music business. But that was like 35 years ago. So 35 plus 20, it's like, that doesn't match with the 40-year-old celebration he's doing. So I'm surprised they didn't do that now, because they do that every so often with Jay-Z, because he makes a big deal about his birthdays.
Wow, that would be really interesting. I mean, I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, and it says that he was born December 4th, 1969. So that would make him 50. But hey, you can edit Wikipedia pages, you know. That's not concrete information out there. That'd be crazy to just, like, straight up fool the whole world into thinking that you're younger than you actually are. I don't know. Good on you, Jay-Z, if you did it.
Well, celebrities do that all the time. I mean, Rebel Wilson was letting people assume she was in her early 30s or late 20s, and she's actually 40 or close to 40.
Wow.
Yeah, they do it all the time. So that's why, for me, it's kind of like, oh, it wouldn't be far-fetched if he was a little bit older, because you always want to be pretty young and hip. You know, that's how you sell your product yourself. So I'm like,
that's
okay.
True.
But if he's 50, if he is, good for him. And that bottle of liquor, you're right, $5,000, that's crazy. I could do so much with that.
Yeah, you can buy a Hyundai with that. But instead, you're just taking sips of the cognac.
But it's okay. When I get super billionaire rich, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah. Let's party it up with expensive stuff.
What we get for number two?
We've got the Peloton bike ad, and you might have seen some controversy on this on social media. But everybody's mad because the bike ad for Peloton, which is the, like, at-home spin type of virtual thing that you can spin and then also watch a video of, like, a class. So you're actually kind of taking a class rather than just spinning on yourself, whatever. I think it's a cool bike. It's a cool company. But everybody's mad about the ad because it seems as though maybe the husband in the ad is coercing his already pretty fit wife into, like, working out on this Peloton kind of against her will, because she's, like, kind of, like, looks kind of miserable and is, like, a very apprehensive to start doing it. And so everybody's, like, really mad about it. And, you know, Peloton's stock dropped 9% after everybody got all pissed, which I'm not even sure is a reaction to that backlash, but who knows. And they issued a statement being like, whoa, like, we're really... really shocked by this backlash. You know, we're just trying to showcase somebody's fitness journey. You know, it wasn't about, like, being forced to work out. But we'll say, the one thing that I thought was weird when I first saw the ad was she was so nervous to, like, get on the bike and start, and she's, like, filming herself. She's like, I'm about to do it. I'm so scared. It's like, you're at home in your house on a bike. Like, you can hop off if it sucks, or you can just, like, nobody's even going to see you. So what are you nervous about? I felt like that was weird. But overall, I thought the ad was fine. I think everybody needs to, you know, potentially not get so dramatic about it and just move on.
Yeah, I think people are a bit sensitive. I mean, we grew up with, you know, Budweiser commercials that showed scantily dressed women with beer. And yeah, it didn't mean you were going to get a scantily dressed woman if you drank Budweiser. So it's a bit weird to think so much into a commercial. But you know what? I feel really bad for the actors, because the dude who played the husband, he's been getting backlash too. And it's like, dude, he was just doing a gig. Like, you're taking it too far here.
Totally. Yeah, he said that he has now been cast as, quote, a symbol of the patriarchy. And it's like, yeah, dude, like, this guy is just, he's just doing an advertisement. He's an actor. He's not a symbol of the patriarchy. Like, I know people need to not associate the actors with any type of negativity that you might feel towards the ad. You know, if you feel negative about it, address it with the company, not the actors that are just trying to make a buck.
All right. What did we get for number one?
Number one, Cyber Monday. Big, big, big shopping day. Biggest ever in the history of Cyber Monday. And it's estimated, they don't know exactly, but online shopping sales totaled around $9.4 billion. I mean, it's so much money. It's so freaking wild. But let's see. Cyber Monday, first coined as that term in 2005 as an answer to Black Friday. And it was up 19% from last year in terms of expenditures, because it was at $7.9 billion last year. So people are spending on Cyber Monday. I'm impressed, because I haven't even thought about any type of Christmas shopping. So for everybody to be so ahead of the game and so prepared that early in the year is like, I always do my shopping, like, you know, a couple days before Christmas, which is terrible. But hey, kudos to everybody that spent money on on Cyber Monday and got ahead of the game.
Okay, so I tried to shop on Cyber Monday and the deals blew. I'm not even joking. Like, they sucked.
Wow.
I really wanted to get something for my mom specifically, and I couldn't find anything on sale that was like within the range, the scope of what I was going to get her. And I went to Etsy, I went to eBay, I went to Amazon. I'm like, these deals suck. And I thought it was just me. But I asked around, and a lot of my friends didn't like the deals either. I'm kind of upset that you didn't do any deals because I wanted to compare, like, and contrast with you. Ugh, it was just horrible for me.
Right. I know. I should have done deals. Well, you know, you can listen. And this isn't just to tout Google because I work there, but I'm going to give you some knowledge about how Google can help. And you got to listen. So if you search for something in Google Shopping and you want to compare prices to figure out, like, across all these different websites, like, what has the best deal, you can just click compare prices and it'll literally show you, like, in the browser window all the different prices across every single website rather than going from website to website to website and kind of comparing. And then you can also click track prices and it'll alert you when the price drops. So if you're not satisfied with deals on Cyber Monday, you can do that and you might potentially be able to find some deals without actively monitoring these things constantly, you know?
Wow, that is some knowledge you dropped on me. Okay, I'm going to try that out. I'm going to try it out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell everybody whether it's good or not. So
yeah, do it. I've been doing it. I'm tracking a couple things right now. So we'll see. It's kind of like where you track flight prices, like kind of tells you when stuff drops and you can make a purchase and get it going.
What do we get for the YouTube video?
It was the Into the Unknown song from Frozen 2. It's a great song. It's got over 9 million views and counting. But I wonder if we or the kids that are like growing up with Frozen 2 are going to be belting out these songs like at karaoke as an adult, you know, back or when they like, you know, get in their 20s and stuff like that. Because like, I don't know. I don't really see it. I think it's a great song and I'm stoked on it. But I don't really see the type of longevity that like A Whole New World, for example, has. Because I love singing that at karaoke. And it's so inspiring and it's so interesting. This is a good song, but I'm not sure it's going to hold up in the next couple decades.
Oh, it is. It is. These kids are going to be screaming it along with Baby Shark. Those are their songs.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Baby Shark. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. I think it's maybe because I don't have that, like, crazy emotional connection as a kid watching the story unfold and feel like I'm in it to actually be able to adhere to the music. But it is. It's great. I got to watch Frozen 2. Everybody's so stoked on it.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not stoked. But this song, because I watched the video and I was really into the weird like voice in the back room, like, oh, and I was like, who is that? Who is that? Is that Sia? And it turns out it was this chick named Aurora. Never heard of her before. So I looked her up and I'm a big fan of Aurora now. I totally like her music and I love her story. She's 23 years old. She started her music career accidentally at 16. And her mom had to convince her to actually pursue it. And now her older sisters are like helping her in her career and she's doing really good. And I really like her music. Like, I love it. I can't get enough of this chick. And I just learned about her like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's new information for me. That's great. Thank you for that. That sounds great. I'm inspired by her.
You need to go look it up. Aurora. That's it.
Aurora.
Doing
I love that name.
I could
well.
Be saying
Aurora.
It wrong because she's like Norwegian.
Sure.
Could be pronounced differently.
Aurora.
And I'm butchering it. But Aurora, like the princess.
Like the Aurora Borealis.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Well, okay. You're so fancy.
We're on Aurora.
All right. Thanks, Justin, for joining me. I appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you soon.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.